That's his name. If you want God to have his perfect way with you, go ahead and give him praise and magnify him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So good to be in the house of the Lord with you tonight. And what a great day to be alive in the kingdom of God. Prophecy coming to pass on every hand. And God is pouring out his spirit on all flesh. God bless you. You can be seated. We're so glad to have all of our guests here. If you don't know what we're doing tonight, the Word of God says to clap your hands and lift your voice and magnify him. The Word of God says make a loud noise, make a joyful noise before the Lord. People understand this in sporting events, but they don't understand it all began with God and man's approach to God. And so the Word of God is very clear. You should praise him in the dance. Dancing began as worship unto God. It's been used for all kinds of other things, but your primary use for those hands and those feet and that voice is to praise and magnify God. And we just do that because the Word of God commands it and allows it, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I bring you greetings from the Inland Lighthouse congregation and Pastor and Sister Booker in Rialto, California. Wonderful revival church, and I appreciate the wonderful move of God that you guys had here on Sunday, and all those who filled roles of responsibility in the pulpit, and Brother Godwin especially for coming to be with us. And I just appreciate your response to the Word of God and to the moving of the Spirit of God. And just proves the adage once more that one monkey doesn't stop the show, and that we just go right on and have good church. And while we were shouting and worshiping in Rialto, I thought this feels a lot like home. And you would feel at home there. They are very, very responsive to the Word of God and to the presence of God. Well, let's make tracks tonight. We're going to continue with a study of Mark chapter 1. We won't read a text tonight because we're just going to review where we've been and what we've done, and then move into perhaps some new areas of discussion. Praise God. If you love his word, clap your hands and lift your voice to him tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you for your word, oh God. Thank you for your word forever settled in the heavens. We praise your name. We magnify you, Lord God. Praise God. Well, praise God. And we want to give God thanks. Brother, I got your name, but I didn't get it enough for it to stick. I know you're Helen's brother, so it's. I know you don't want to be Helen's brother. You want to be Ted. But Ted got the Holy Ghost in Bible study and got baptized in a swimming pool the other night at Bible study. And we're glad to have him in the church tonight. And just keep doing that, brother. God's got a lot for you. It's going to lead you and draw you. We've been opening up the book of Mark. And in the first chapter of the book of Mark, we just kind of hit some high spots about all the supernatural activity that took place just in this first chapter. In the very first chapter, you get higher dimensional encounters in almost every verse. There are prophetic fulfillments and the revealing of eternal patterns in the heavens, and demons and the casting out of demons, and God calling men into service, and the remission of sins and baptism, and the abiding covenant of God with Israel. And all of these are powerful spiritual things that people in the street and in the shops and in the homes there perhaps were not really identifying with. Just like today, people pay attention to religious things, and most everybody in Birmingham is very religious. Even the drunks on the bar stools are very religious and can quote scripture to you. But the idea of God moving in everyday situations on a regular basis, and your expectation when you get up in the morning is that you're going to see the hand of God moving in your life, and something from another another dimension moving into your family and moving on your behalf and helping you at work and helping you at school and the fulfillment. Or is there anybody in here that really believes that when you get up in the morning that prophecy is going to come to pass in your life and that angels are going to encircle and encamp round about you and that the protection of God is going to descend on you and your home and the provision of God is going to be made available to you? Do you believe that? Because that's what this first chapter of Mark is all about. And that's what God's people experience on a regular basis. And in the way that we've talked about this in the last couple of Wednesday evenings, we need the supernatural. We need the moving of God, the breath of God from another dimension into this dimension. And we've talked about that a little bit, mostly where people live and houses and jobs and the going and coming and the work and all the things that we do. Most of that is third dimension. And that's where most people are content to live. And there are a lot of churches that are third dimensional churches that are very happy to live right there. And they are threatened by anything from another dimension. They don't want a sudden moving of the Spirit of God. They don't want God moving in and upsetting the balance or changing anything. And most people would just like things to be kind of predictable and on schedule and plan. But when God begins to move, you never know. Sunday night, you guys had a blowout here. It wasn't on the bulletin. We couldn't plan that if we tried to, but God just began to move in the house and you said yes. Because I'll tell you, he doesn't do that in places where people say no. He only does that in places where people say, ah, that's the presence of God. I want more of that. Ah, that's the moving of God. I want more of that. That's the Spirit of the living God. I want more of that moving in my life. And in previous conversations, we've talked about how you get access to that flow of the Spirit of God or access to those higher dimensions. And you might call them anything you like, but in this discussion, I've called them portals. And there are places where you can move into a moving of God. And I'll just tell you, it doesn't happen everywhere. Spirit of God is not moving in every house in this city like he moves in you. Anybody have God just visit you in your house recently? In your time of prayer and in your working with your family and maybe just sometime bump you while you're sleeping and wake you up and you feel the presence of God abiding in that? Now, I'll just tell you, this is crazy talk to people that live and are satisfied in the third dimension. This is just something people don't want to talk about. God woke me up the other night. They don't want to hear about that. And I sat up in bed and I was just talking in tongues and trembling in the presence of God. I just had the heebie-jeebies. People don't want to talk about that because it's kind of freakish. But it's right from the pages to remove yourself from those types of activities. You have to remove yourself from an association with the Word of God. Because if we did what we've done in the first chapter of Mark, all the way through the Gospels and through the book of Acts, you will find that in every narrative, historical discussion in the Word of God, there is continual reference to the supernatural and to access and the opening of portals to other dimensions. Praise the Lord. And one theme that we've touched on is that you can't just find this anywhere. The reason it's happening in your home and it's not happening in your neighbor's house is because you have your home in alignment. The reason it's happening in your life and it's not happening in your coworker's life is because you've brought your life into alignment with God and you've decided to be obedient to the Word of God and to acquiesce to the will and to the wishes of God. And in that condition, God can move on you and in you, and he will. But if you're not positioned and you're not in alignment, then you're going to miss what God has for you. And he has a blessing for everybody. He has a desire for every home and every family. He wants to see every city ablaze with revival. But it's not happening everywhere. It's happening where men and women decide, no matter what, I want to be in alignment with the Spirit, the Word, the moving of God. I want to obey him. I want to hear him. And when he gets ready to say, come up higher, I want to do that. I want to be in rhythm and in alignment with God. Now, the third dimension just heartily resists the moving of the Spirit of God from higher dimensions. I've had people tell me about the Holy Ghost and about the moving of God. Well, if you need that, like it's okay. If you need that, it's all right. Like you're some kind of freak or something. And in this world, you just have to understand, Brother Terrell, we are freaks in this world. You know, we are not normal. We are square pegs in round holes. We are not normal. Turn to your neighbor. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you're living for God, tell him, I am not normal. I'm normal in the Holy Ghost. I'm normal in the Word of God. I believe in angels. I believe in prophecy. I believe in the moving of His Spirit. I believe in miracles. I believe in healing. I believe God's with us right now. I believe there's angels encamped all around us. I believe everything the book has to say. Does anybody in this house believe that tonight? Well, that's what I said. You're not normal. You're a house full of freaks. That's what you are. But the whole world is going to hell. And I ain't going. I'm not going to go. The world has turned its back on God. It's going its own way. But I'm not going. You're swimming upstream if you're living for God. But that's what we've got to do tonight. We've got a purpose in our hearts. We're going to live for God. And I'll tell you, the Word of God has a promise for you in that end time drama that's already been established by the Word of God. The Word declares, they that do know their God shall do exploits. Praise God. So it's going to be a wild time down to the end. And we want to make sure that we are firmly connected and ensconced in the Word and the will of God. Now, tonight, what I'd like to do with you, and if I could get some help from you, Dane, to help us. I want to start in 2 Kings chapter 6. And I want us to look at some occasions in the Word of God where people have encounters with that higher dimensional power. 2 Kings chapter 6 and beginning in verse 15. And what's happened here is the king of Syria is really, really upset with the prophet of God, because every time the king of Syria wants to move on Judah or Israel, his plans are ruined, and finally he approaches all the people in his camp, and he says, who among us is for Israel? Because he knows there's a spy in the crowd. And one man says bravely, he says, look, there's a prophet in Israel, and he knows what you say in your bedchamber. And so he sends a great host, an army, out after Elisha. And Elisha is in a mountainous area. And here is that encounter. They send down to Dothan, and they surround him with horses and chariots. And verse 15 is the servant of the prophet. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. He saw that Syrian army all around them. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? What are we going to do? We are surrounded. And verse 16, the prophet gives him a very strange response. And he answered, and everybody say, fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Oh, touch your neighbor tonight and tell them, don't be afraid. There are more on our side than on their side. Do you believe that tonight? Well, now the servant didn't see that. All he saw was the enemy. And here the prophet Elisha prays a simple prayer, verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. This poor fella, he's locked into the third dimension. All he can see is that third dimensional army. All he can see are the third dimensional pressures and conditions and circumstances. And he understands that this young man's joy and his peace of mind have just been corrupted by what he's seeing in the third dimension. That's why this conversation is an important conversation, because life is going to present you with some things that have the capacity to steal your joy. But you got to be able to look over the top of the trouble and say, but there's more that are with me than those that are with them. I've got a friend in a place of great power. I've got an army on my side that I might not be able to see with my natural eye, but I'm telling you, it's as real as the breath in your body tonight. Somebody say praise God. Elisha said, I pray God, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. And these weren't standing on the ground. These were just kind of hanging in the air. And wherever man sets forth an army, God has an army that he sets forth. Praise God. Now this story goes on, and it's very interesting. You really need to read these stories, because they're powerful. And this is the story where Elisha prays that God would blind all these people in the Syrian army. And he goes down and says, this is not the right city. This is not the right place. And he leads them right down to the king's palace in Samaria. And when he opens their eyes, they see that they're surrounded by hostile forces. And he gives them a little something to eat and a little something to drink. And he sends them home to the king of Syria. And they never come back to bother him again. I want you to know, if you have pressure and the odds against you seem like they are overwhelming, you have to get on the winning side of this. You've got to get in a place where you can see by your faith the fact that the army of God is with you. My God, somebody needs to lay claim to that tonight and understand, I've been bought by the blood of Jesus. I've been filled with his spirit. My name is his name tonight, and the host of God. Dane, Psalms 34 and 7. Turn to your neighbor and say, I've got angels around my house. They're around me on the job. They're with me when I travel, which is really, really good for some of you and really great for the rest of us. They're the angels of God. They're all around my wife. She has no idea what that round thing in front of her in the dash is all about, and that little red dial. She doesn't know what in the world that thing means. She just goes from point A to point B. My poor children are terrified to ride with their mother. But everybody say, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. Who in the house fears the Lord? That means you obey him and you serve him. And he delivers them. That's a power and a relationship and a flow and a condition from a higher dimension. You have to be in alignment. The army of Syria was not, but the prophet was. The servant of the prophet was in alignment under his prophet. And because of that, what came to the prophet eventually came down to him. And so alignment determines access and determines if you have access to the portals through which all of this comes into the circle of earth experience. Praise God. Are you okay? Dane, 2 Samuel chapter 5. It's all right if we have a little Bible study tonight. You like Bible studies? 2 Samuel 5 and beginning in verse 22. Now, this is David, and David is about to go to war, and he's already fought a successful battle against the Philistines, and he's about to go out again the same way that he went out previously. In verse 22, and the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David, verse 23, inquired of the Lord, he said, the Lord said, thou shalt not go up. And isn't that good to get word from God? Because he's wondering what to do. And he's already got some success under his belt. And this is the kid that killed Goliath. And so he's full of confidence. But his confidence is not in his own arm. But it is in God. I don't care how successful you are in business, you better entertain God about what you're about to do. I don't care how successful you are in what you're doing right now, you better entertain God before you engage in something new or make a move. Matter of fact, I want to talk to him every morning about anything I'm about that day. I want God's hand on it. I want his presence on it. I want a portal opened up, and I want the moving of God in everything that I do. Do you want that? Praise God. And he said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them. Go around behind them. I'm sorry. fetch a compass means go around behind them. And come up upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, then thou shalt bestir thyself or get up, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And what he just told them, he said, I'm going to send an angelic host, and they're going to be passing right here where this mulberry orchard is. And when you hear in the tops of these trees, because this army doesn't walk on the ground. This army just kind of moves through a dispensational portal and just kind of moves through the air. It's not relevant to them. All these laws like gravity and all the natural forces and natural circumstances, it's not relevant to them. He said, but when you hear them walking in the tops of those mulberry trees, then go ahead. The coast is clear because they're going out before you into battle. I don't know about you, but every day I want that host of God going out before me. I want God's presence going out before me and the promise of God establishing and defining the conditions that I'm going to find when I get into the place of conflict or get into the place of battle. Somebody say praise the Lord. Has God ever delivered anybody in this house? Have you ever seen the hand of God come down in the day right before trouble came, but God nipped it in the bud and you looked at it later and said, that was the hand of God that delivered me? I'm telling you, he's a good God. If he's delivered you, clap your hands and lift your voice and magnify God. What a good God. I don't know about you, but I am capable of doing some really stupid things. You wouldn't think so at the time, but in retrospect, you can really see that you've done some stupid things. But you don't know going in how stupid it is. But God does know. But when you're in alignment and you're walking in access with God, then God just naturally goes before you and covers for you and helps you and saves you from your own stupidity. And I'm glad for that. I really am. I'm looking back at a good number of years of living for God, and I couldn't see it then, but every now and then I'll look back and it takes my breath away because I didn't see it at the time. But 10 years later or 15 years later, I look at it and say, there was a trap for me. There was a place there. I could have lost my soul. There was a place there. I didn't see it, but God saw it. And look at what God did for me. He sent someone. He sent a word. He opened up a portal. He said, I'm telling you, it's just as real as the night that Sister Sutton and I were blowing down this country road and an angel of God said, stop. And so I did. And she's going, what are you doing? What? And I said, didn't you hear that? And she said, no. And it was a big old dead horse in the road. And our little six-cylinder Comet would have gone airborne. And I was boogieing. It'd have been really ugly. But God just said, stop. And some of you were about to walk off into sin. And God said, stop. And the two boys in Durham a few weeks ago in service with Brother Marks, they were about to get in a car with a friend and go ride. But the Holy Ghost told Brother Marks to tell them, don't get in the car. And they remembered that when their friend tooled up in his new car and said, come go ride with me. And they said, they remembered Brother Mark saying, don't get in the car. And it wasn't just about an hour later, they were picking up the pieces of that young man's body and his car because he had gone airborne and just destroyed that thing. I'm telling you, it's a good day to have authority in your life. It's a good day to be in alignment. It's a good day to be able to hear. I'm glad God moves in our lives. He's not a remote God somewhere off in a distant place that doesn't come down to see about his people. He said, I will be with you always. He said, I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. Now, the devil is a liar, and life will make you feel like God doesn't care about you. But friend, you've got a promise. There's a God above that loves you, that cares about you, that walks with you. Your tears he gathers in a bottle. He writes down your name, and when you talk to your friends about him, last chapter of Malachi, it says God hears it and says he writes it down in a book. And he says, when I come back, they're going to be my jewels. And God hears you when you talk. God sees you and where you're walking. And if you're in alignment and if you're open to that, if you just want to live a third dimensional existence and just work a job and make some money and eat some pie and live and die, if that's all you want, well, you can do that. But you're missing the purpose and the reason for life. God's saying, look up, look up. There's more to this. There's an eternity that's waiting for us. This life is not all that there is. Praise God. Praise God. We talked last time we were together about the four lepers that as they made their way into the enemy's encampment, just four old raggedy lepers that didn't have any strength and didn't have any power, and couldn't even get into the city that was closed up and suffering from famine, but they were starving too. And they just said, well, let's go down to the enemy's camp and just see. We're going to die if we sit here. And if we go there, well, we'll just die there. So they just got up and they started walking. But as they were walking, God made their footfalls sound like an army. And it was so terrifying that the enemy got up in panic and left its camp. And when the four lepers got there, they had more food and garment and riches than they could carry, and they went back to the city, and the whole city ate over that fine from those four lepers. You may not be strong enough to take on those things that have come against you, but I know a God who is. You may not have what you need, but if you've got relationship with him and you are in alignment with him, I want you to know tonight, if you're a young lady in this house and you feel like you don't matter and you don't have any strength and you don't have any power, just pick them up and put them down one in front of the other. You just do what God's told you to do. By the time you get there, God will have taken care of your enemy. I'm telling you tonight, God has made provision for you. Somebody needs to take ownership of that tonight. You're having a hard time sleeping because of the pressure in your life. You need to stand up tonight and get your arms around the promise of God. You're feeling cut off socially, perhaps like something's wrong with you because you live for God. You need to get a hold of this tonight and understand God's going to make a way for you. The job is to be in alignment. The job is to be in a place where you're connected with this God and in a place where that higher dimension can pour forth on and into your life. Praise God. Praise God. Simple stuff. And these are Sunday school stories, by the way. These are little baby stories for little babies. But I'm not apologizing for using them tonight, because I really feel this in the Holy Ghost tonight. I want this church family to walk in this. I want us to walk in this. God's been good, and we've seen some things and we've heard some things, but as this tension ratchets down in these last days, we need God more than we've ever needed God. I don't know about you, but that's how I'm feeling it tonight. Things are happening in this earth that nobody has an answer for. The politicians don't have answers. The statesmen and the parliamentarians don't have answers for it, but I'm telling you, there's a God that has an answer for every situation in your life. Every question. 1 Kings chapter 17, Dane. And begin in verse 8. This is a real simple little story. It's a story about a little woman in a place called Zarephath that was a Gentile. She wasn't even part of Israel. And God sent the prophet down to her house. It was in a time of famine and drought. And God sent the prophet down to the house of this little widow woman. And when he got there in verse 10, he said, lady, he said, get me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And in verse 11, as she was going to fetch it, he said, and bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And in verse 12, she said, listen, as God is alive, I don't have a cake. I've got a handful of meal and I've got a little bit of oil in a cruse and I'm gathering two sticks. I'm going to go in. I'm going to cook this little cake and my son and I are going to eat it and then we're going to die. Because she was looking at her third dimensional natural circumstance. She said, this is all we've got. There is none anywhere else. Nobody else has any. We can't get any. But she said, now I'm going to tell you something right now that I heard when I was at the Philippines. And I believe it with all my heart. A little Filipino family. And it was in a time of drought. And it was in a time of tremendous oppression. And they didn't have anything to eat. And the dad in that house, he said, this word, God said it was bread. And he took a page out of his Bible and laid it in the oven and closed the door. And he said, tomorrow there'll be bread. And in the morning they got up and they ate bread. Now, I'm talking to an apostolic church. And I hesitate to tell you that story. I'm talking to an apostolic Pentecostal Jesus name Holy Roller Church. But I'm a little bit hesitant to tell you that story. Because we are so affected and influenced by the third dimension. And in the third dimension, that doesn't happen. But on that little island in the Philippines, for that little man who believed God, I'm telling you, it's just like the page you're about to read in your Bible. Tonight, I want to tell you, I don't care what the devil's trying to feed you. I want you to understand God has an answer for you. God, somebody that's hurting right now, needs to stand and say, God is my healer. Somebody that's in trouble needs to stand and say, God is my provider. Somebody that doesn't know what to do needs to stand and say, God is my North Star. He's my way maker. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? My God, my God, my God. We've got a lot of blessings in our life. And the place where Israel choked every time was when God would bless her. And she had everything she needed in the third dimension. She forgot how to look up. And she started depending on the natural things in her life. Even though they all came from God. She started depending on those things. And it's possible for an apostolic to have his joy or her peace determined by the nature of the physical circumstances and what they're saying on the job and how people are talking to you and what the economy's doing and what the pressure and the culture seems to look like. But I'm telling you, if you're born again of the water and of the Spirit, it's not like that for you. You need to look up. You need to look up. You need to understand that God's your provider. God determines your destiny. Praise God. So, the prophet said, go make me a cake. The lady said, we only have a little bit of oil and meal. We're going to eat it. We're going to die. Elijah said, don't be afraid. Just go do what I told you. Now, this is where the preacher really gets a bad reputation. Because the preacher comes in like a TV evangelist. Like a shark. And tells this poor little lady who has nothing, give me everything you have. And oh, I can feel the indignation from people that don't know God. But the woman, for some reason, she's not of Israel. She's a Gentile. And the prophet said, listen, you do this, that barrel that you have that meal in, it's never going to go empty. And that cruse that you have that oil in, it won't ever go dry until the day God makes rain come down and he ends this drought. And verse 15, Dane, and she went and did according. She got in alignment. She got in alignment. She didn't resist. She didn't deny. She didn't close her ears and shelter herself and be defined by third dimensional conditions. If you want to be defined by third dimensional things, you can. Right now, if you're depressed about all the third dimensional things in your life, you can be depressed if you want to. But there's a word here in the house tonight that's saying God's got something better for you. But you've got to look up a little bit higher than where you're looking right now. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm not going to be defined by third dimensional things. I'm going to live according to the promise and the power and the deliverance and the healing and the provision of God. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days on just a little handful of meal and just a little bit. And the barrel, verse 16, wasted not. It didn't ever go empty. Neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Now, I want everybody in the house that believes that tonight, I want you to shout uproariously before God. I believe it! I believe the word of God. Give some high fives around you. Tell somebody, I believe God. I know it looks bad, but I believe God. I know I got trouble all around, but I believe God. I know I don't have a dollar in my pocket, but I believe God. I want to know how many miracles there are in the house. Is there anybody here God provided for you and there wasn't any way to explain it naturally? I want to know if God's been your healer and it didn't come from any other place. It came from God. Has anybody had a situation you couldn't fix and it was like God just breathed on it and put it all right where it needed to be? Let's give him some praise for that. Let's bless his name. See, that's what's wrong with me. I believe the Sunday school stories. I believe what they're teaching our babies over there. I really do believe. It's not like you graduate from Sunday school and then go into real life. My friend, when we're telling them God can move a mountain, we believe it. When we tell them God moves the Red Sea, we believe it. When we tell them God opens up Jordan, we believe it. Because we choose to operate in a higher dimensional frame of life. The fourth is where all that good stuff merges with the third. The fifth is where it's established in the pattern and in the word of God. The sixth is what bled down into this house Sunday night. I didn't even have to be here to know. When you feel that pulse and that presence and these kids are falling out and praying for one another, some are weeping and some are laughing. I know how it felt in this house Sunday night. You could cut it with a knife. The presence of God was so thick. That is the sixth. And it comes down when you get in alignment in your worship and in your life and in your love for the word of God and holiness. And you get in line. God has open access to you. And it's not so much as you find access to God. It's God is able to have access to you. You bring yourself into a position where he can pour it out on your life. Praise God. Was it like that Sunday night? Was it good here Sunday night? Well, I'm going to just tell you, it was happening on the West Coast at the same time. A couple of hours time difference, but it was happening there. We had people going down in the water in Jesus' name. We had people getting the Holy Ghost. They were shouting about the possibility of getting their head cut off in the tenure of the Antichrist. Serious apostolics. In the middle of all the hubbub and the shouting, one turned to another and said, "Do you realize what we're shouting about?" Praise God. I've got to quit here just so that when your clock goes off in the morning, you'll still love me. But when we come together again, we'll probably talk about how at Nazareth, they don't want anything to do with those higher dimensional experiences. And when he tries to open them up, they try to kill him. Help me. Why don't we come gather down around the altar tonight? If you would, gather with your family. If you don't have family, find some. If you're first, you might want to step up on those steps. Make some room. Come on, when you get down here, wrap your arms up. Come on, get around. Wrap up somebody. There you go, hug them up, hug them up. Hands on everybody, arms around everybody. Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, yes. Mighty God. I want you to just begin to tell him what you have need of tonight. Tell him what's going on in your life. If you're not standing in alignment with him, you need to begin to tell him, God, I'm going to set aside those things that you don't like. God, I'm going to set aside those things that are not pleasing. If you need to repent, now's the time to repent. But if you're standing here in good standing with God, you need to go ahead and tell him about it. To begin to tell those around you, those people you love there, I want you to begin to tell them how it's going to be all right and how God's going to take care of it and what God's told you and how God's going to mend the broken heart and God's going to provide the needs and God's going to make a way and God's going to bring you back. Hallelujah. Y'all, could we just give him a little bit of praise now? Your kingdom. Bless his name. Hallelujah, yes. Hallelujah. Mighty God, mighty God, mighty God, yes. Share your victory, share your strength with one another. And remember, if you're young, they're going to be having youth service this Friday night. If you're praying, just go right on and pray. But I want you to linger a little while. I want you to spend some time hugging up some people and sharing your victory and sharing the goodness of God tonight in this altar.